In a world where every podcaster is lining up behind the velvet rope to be the first to review everything entertainment related, they'll all turn around to find the line cutters have already cut ahead.
Oh God.
Why?
Son of...
Stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's dumb.
Idiot.
Let me say that again.
That's not what I meant.
What are you saying?
It hurts.
No. 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 Wrong.
Can everyone shut up?
What?
What? What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
And welcome everyone to another episode of The Line Cutters.
Woo!
Oh,
yay!
Yeah.
I am your host, James.
I'm Al.
And I'm Pope.
And we are the Line Cutters. We bring you internet arguments in convenient audio form.
There you go.
Convenient.
There
it's
you go.
Not just in audio form, it's convenient.
Because it's only an hour. It's all packed in right there, so you don't have to argue with anybody on the internet anymore.
The entire internet. Yep. Just arguing all of their arguments 1 hour here.
Yep.
Now, we have a very special thing we need to do today at the beginning of our podcast. We are officially inducting John Pope as a line cutter. He's been friend of the show and guest for a while, but he's made it so regularly now that I think it's time.
They even gave me the code for the vault.
Yeah, we did. Now we can actually enter into the studio without our help. So that's sort of what makes it official.
Standing out there for 20 minutes freezing, like I may have done today.
Well, I also may have ignored your messages. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'll just cry a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right. So Al, do you have the snakes?
I have the snakes, and I have the snakes that we're going to be using. I have the ceremonial knife, or dagger, as it were. I also brought a Metroplex to be taking care of things here. And also, there's the eclair, the ceremonial eclair.
All right. So, John, what you have to do is you have to hold the snake, right, and not let it bite you. Well, you eat the ceremonial eclair.
What? No, that's wrong.
Can I share it with the snake?
No. No, what do you do with the ceremonial eclair?
The ceremonial eclair is...
Is it a suppository?
No. You have to see how much of yourself you can fit inside the eclair. And this judges your worth in the line cutters.
That seems a little...
Well, fine. All right. We'll put you at zero worth then.
Okay.
But anyway, going on with the snakes.
So, yes. So you balance this... You hold the snake and don't let it bite you while doing whatever Al said with the eclair... And juggling the ceremonial knife between your toes. You have to also do this on one foot.
That sounds like an expensive hospital visit. Can I just eat the eclair and pet the snake?
Or you could feed the eclair to the snake.
All right, yeah, let's
do eclairs even like snakes? All right, fine.
No.
Eclairs definitely like snakes.
No,
snakes don't like eclairs.
Feed the snake to the eclair. There we go. Now we're cooking with gas.
I got to sharpen the knife then.
All right, but anyway.
So anyway, yes, we are officially happy to have John Pope as a regular on the show.
Yay.
Despite our attempts at having him kill himself accidentally by balancing a knife between his toes and juggling snakes.
Yes, enough.
If you also want to balance knives and juggle snakes, please come join us here on the Line Cutters.
You too can bring convenient internet arguments into an audio form.
While juggling snakes with your toes. Got it.
Exactly.
So, I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Who has a lottery ticket?
I'm part of a pool.
Actually.
Yeah.
I just bought one. Like, actually, I bought like $5 worth of whatever there was. That's a few of them. I didn't pick numbers specifically. I just said, random, whatever.
Yeah, the quick picks usually the easiest way to go.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know, the lottery is up to, I think it's
$1.5 billion.
Which is the biggest ever been in New Jersey.
And they say 85% of all combinations are currently used, so there's a high probability that someone will win it tonight.
Yep.
Highly likely that someone's going to win it tonight.
And if someone doesn't, it goes up to $2 billion, right?
That's what I hear. Yep.
2 billion. Jeez.
I'm in an office pool at work.
Nice.
You guys seem to have your own individual tickets. So I guess my question is, I have two questions. What would you do with the money if you were wildly irresponsible? And then what would you do with the money, you know, normally?
Normal.
The normal year.
I gotcha.
Well, what would they say the cut is? Like 600 million is what you'd get from the lump?
You'd get like around five, over five, between five and six.
Yeah, so, you know, just for round numbers, we'll say $500 million because that's probably more money than you can spend in your wildest dreams.
Right.
And you said you're part of a pool, James, correct? But Al, you bought yours on your own.
Yes.
So you're the only one who would win it outright.
And I could do, and there's a couple of different options for this. If I didn't want to take the taxes, I could take, well, I'd have to still take taxes, but I'd take less taxes. If I tried to get it like...
annuitized?
Yeah. Like, I'd get a little bit of it at a time.
20 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I could do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to spend it wildly.
Well, think about how much money that is over 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, you would get more than $1 million in each installment over the course of a year.
True. But also, beyond that, though, it's like, if you die, if something happens to you, that money doesn't go to, like, your next of kin. They don't keep collecting that.
Nope. They just put it back into that pool that goes with the other stuff.
Yep. So that would be my only concern about it.
Okay. But so how would you spend it?
How would I spend it? If you know, sky's the limit. I knew I was dying in a year or 2 years.
Yeah, sky's
like
the limit. You don't have to worry about the fact that you're going to be broke in 3 years. Just what would you do?
First things first, I'd buy a freaking plane. Like, I've always
wanted... Planes are like $100 million, and you have to spend like 10 grand on gas each
time
you get in it.
This was the no judgment one,
man.
Sorry.
No judgment.
This was me buying a plane, and I'd like, I don't know what, I'd turn this plane into my house. This is where I would live. I would live in this plane, and I'd just travel around and like go to like all the places I always wanted to go. I'd like... eat food I shouldn't, and like, I don't know, besides that, like, I throw like these huge parties, and like, I bring everybody with me on this. I tell James, take off from work, here's a, like, you know, couple $100,000, like, just come on the plane with me.
That'll cover you for a year.
Yeah, like, just
not get... like this plan.
Like, that, what I would do, like, whatever, we'll come back, like, we'll come back to Line Cutters, it'll still be there, and like, I just, you know, I'd party for that entire year. Like, but not in the sense of, like, woo, cool, strippers and whatnot. Just party as in, like, I don't know, just, like, drinking and finding cool stuff to do and just being with your friends. Like, that's what I would want to do. Like, and just take a year off to just do that and, like, have the wildest story, like, I could tell, like, your grandkids about and be like, there was this time I took your father.
There was this time I was a billionaire for a year and me and your father... partied like it was 1999. Now,
Grandpa, that was like 100 years ago.
I like this. This is a good plan, Al.
Yeah.
If you win and you want to be completely irresponsible, I will support this in all measures.
Because I'd take everybody with me. I'd say, like, no, take a year off, guys. Here's the money. You can do it.
What about you as adult, smart Al? What would you spend the money on?
When I would spend the money on, first off, I'd pay off all my father's hospital bills. That would be, first and foremost, the big thing, because those are still there. Pay off student loans. That's also another big thing, which are higher than the hospital bills, actually.
All right. Well, now that $100,000 is gone, what are you doing with the rest of the million?
Yeah, really, right? the rest of it, like, it's probably going into non-pro. Some of that's going into this, and some of that's going to go into Al's Gaming Emporium. That's actually the big thing, is buy a place to actually set up shop and, like, find a place where I'm going to actually be able to open the store. That's probably priority one, is where am I doing this? I'm picking up a freaking place. Like, two, buy a new car. I love my car, but I don't want a Ford. I need something that's... I don't have to change the oil on every, you know, 1,000 miles.
Maybe you could get a Ford. Just have something that's like a 2016 model year.
No. I mean, it's not that Ford makes terrible cars. It's just they don't make cars that will last me as long as I'd like them to. So that's my big thing. So my big thing is find a place to open the store, buy a car, pay off my father's debts, my debts, freaking finally be able to sell the company, the freaking vending company, take care of all the debts that thing has, pay off a lot of freaking bills, really. And like, but besides that, like, really just like, it'd be open up that store. That's the big thing I want to do. And I'd probably go nuts and like buy at least a few things off of my always wanted to have list,
But you wouldn't be like crazy. You'd still be able. You'd
I'd
still put stuff
away.
I'd
probably spend about $1,000 on stuff I wanted just because I won the lottery, and that'd be that.
That's nothing.
And I'd also send my parents to Florida.
Oh, that's good. That's
that
nice
also I would do. I would probably say, like, guys, retire. Here's like some money. Live off retirement. Yeah. And
this is enough money in investments to for you to live retired.
Yeah. Go to Florida. I'd probably buy the house that from them and just basically, so now it's my house. I'd probably have someone move in. And like I'd live downstairs and someone else would live upstairs. Someone who's more than likely going to have a family eventually. Mm-hmm. Because then I can just live in the basement and they can like, you know, start doing
maybe do a little renovation. You can kind of make it a split level.
It's already split level.
It is? It's just a separate entrance?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I could just, I can go in through the garage and just go in that way. So no, it's already works that way.
Cool.
So I would just, I do a lot of stuff on the house and that would basically be it. I'd send them to Florida. I would basically just, you know, buy the house from them. I think that would probably be enough for them to move. I'd just say like, oh, here's X amount of money that I'm paying for the house, quote unquote.
Here's a million, here's a quarter of $1 million for the house. No.
Yeah. And then they just go to Florida and that'd be the end of it. Obviously I'd see them in Florida because I'd have money enough to travel to Florida if I wanted to. But that would be it. It'd be buy the car, open the shop, and move my parents to Florida. That'd be the big thing. Oh, and pay the bills. Good God. Yeah.
What about you, Pope? The wildly irresponsible answer.
Yep. The sky's the limit answer.
I would probably make like a major motion picture. Like hundreds of millions of dollars on a movie.
You'd make a summer blockbuster all your own, or
yes.
Would it be an Oscar contendee?
No. You make the blockbuster so that you get more money later
that you can use for the Oscar
and
picture.
And then you're like, oh, here's 50 mil. Let's make something that, you know, people think is artsy. No. I don't believe in that whole like artistic merit or artistic integrity or anything like that.
You heard it here, folks. John
first and foremost,
no artistic integrity.
I think about selling out, you know. No, I mean the thing is like a lot of people there go, hey, let's, you know, no, I can't, you know, compromise myself. I can't do this. No, the first thing you need to do is pay rent. Then after that, you can think about what you do and don't want to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would, you know, probably just, you know, make my own movie studio. That's the wildly irresponsible one.
The wildly irresponsible one is to start a business. Oh, start a movie studio,
essentially.
It's
like, essentially roll the dice on
start
a blockbuster movie that may or may not make its money.
Yeah. I thought you were opening up like a production
company.
Don't get
me wrong here. No. Well, yeah, start a production company, you know, buy a crap ton of things, maybe start a, like a huge studio or something and, you know, retain exclusive rights to shoot whenever
you're actually making a movie yourself. Here I thought you were just going to, like, I'm going to find some random guy. And, like, I thought you were going to, like, look for someone to bank and invest
produce and possibly direct my own movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I misunderstood that. Because that sounds way more irresponsible and awesome.
I mean, yeah. Like, because it's like, hey, yeah, let's just throw $200 million at that.
It's one of those cool, plausibly irresponsible ones, though.
Hey, Michael Bay made a career out of it.
Yeah, well, and not even make money back, too.
Well,
yeah.
You think
that's like another thing.
You think of the stories of, like, you know, like a guy like Spike Lee, right?
Who had
hundreds of thousands of dollars of movie on credit cards, and he was basically like, well, I either get successful at this movie or I default. You know?
Kevin Smith was around the same thing, too.
Yeah, so...
But
you know.
Kevin Smith's movies are actually profitable, so. I mean, that's just a factual thing.
So, what's your your responsible answer?
Yeah, if I were going to be more fiscally responsible, I'd probably first take half of it and invest it. You know, say if I were to take, you know, the whole $500-ish million, half of that money would just go somewhere to make it so I make enough money forever that I could, you know, continue to be comfortable. Then, you know, a lot of zeroing out of debts. You know, my brother has a nice chunk of debt. My parents have debt. And then, you know, make it so they have their own homes. You know, like everybody can live where they want to. And then, you know, I kind of like my life the way it is. So I'd probably keep going and, you know, do more charity, you know, things like that. You know, be philanthropic.
Philanthropic.
You know, I just realized something I would want to add to that irresponsible answer. Because we're all being very, like, sort of, like, good people about this, but I'm realizing, you know, with that amount of money...
Start hunting humans?
No. With that amount of money, you could really get back some people that really slight at you in life. You could totally be like, oh, I can make their life miserable. I have enough money to do that.
So you buy them a house that, like, starts falling apart on them?
Yeah, almost. Sort of like that. Like, almost like you at least pay someone to make sure...
You would just literally pay someone to follow them around all the time, screaming in their ear.
Yeah.
No matter. You can afford it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I'd be a little bit more clever about it. But I essentially do something.
Like, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, hey, here's $100. Go punch that guy in the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't do that either. But I would definitely like. I would make them lose their jobs. I would make their house go under. I would make things go wrong in their life to the point where they were like, "Wow, I did something to deserve this." And then I'd show up when they're at their darkest moments, like, "Yes, you did," and I want you to remember that.
Wow, that's that's dark.
That's like soul ruining. Yeah, that's I don't know about lose their job. You know, that's kind of.
Nah. I can think of a few people I'd want that to go down on. But there, the good news is there's very few of them. I wouldn't do this to a lot of people.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to know I'm not on that list.
No,
that's...
of course not. You're on the party bus.
Yay!
You're there with John H. All the line cutters, they're on the party bus.
So, James? I think my irresponsible answer would be I would build... this crazy house concept that I saw online. I don't know if you guys remember. I guess it was like 6 months ago.
Right.
A house in a cliff concept was going around.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And this thing looked amazing. It's this like beautiful, like two level house where the top, the roof is a glass swimming pool. The entire side of it's glass. It's looking out over, you know, a beautiful canyon, you know, just a beautiful wilderness. And you've got this beautiful super modern home with the tinting glass with you can look up and you can see the people above you swimming, you know, and it just sounds incredible. It doesn't even, looking at the concept art, you wonder if it's like even engineeringly possible, but I would have enough money to make it so, you know what I mean? I would just be like, you're my engineer now. Find a way to do this.
You're my engineer. Make this $500 million house.
You can do this. I believe in you.
It would be amazing. I just like that house concept art.
I almost feel like
so
you'd be done
cool.
After this, though. Like, that would be the money, wouldn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't mind continuing to work or whatever. I don't think it would cost.
I mean, if it's in New Jersey, though, you might have to maintain, you know, a lot of that money to pay the taxes for the rest of your
life. I probably wouldn't be in New Jersey just because of the whole way to break ground on it and the type of concept it would need. It would probably be in a pretty remote area of some sort of canyon region, probably somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere on the West Coast.
So you're actually developing like an evil lair then?
Kind of like that. Yeah. I guess I would have to, grab a
you'd probably need
plane.
Like a Tesla machine to like strike people with lightning.
No, I don't know about that, but I'd probably need a small plane so I could commute, right?
Yeah.
You know, travel to my secret lair, you know, but wouldn't that be, what a great place, you know, like to throw a party, to hang out. You know, I'd embed probably a TV in the glass, so I'd be a huge movie theater screen, right? Also looking out over the canyon, so when I wanted it would come on. We'd make it a smart house, right? So
yeah.
I could, you know, I Mark Zuckerberg's working on his home AI, right? I'd just be like, yeah, Mark, I'm gonna use that, thanks, you know, and I'll be able to talk to my home and it'll do all those things for me. And I want to live like a supervillain in the future. It would be awesome.
No, I'm sure it would.
You know, and then I'd just orchestrate, you know, I wouldn't stop my job or anything. I'd just, you know, start working from home, you know, more, you know, doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And live in my amazing, amazing house, home / lair. So that would be my wildly irresponsible answer. I think that concept art is so cool. If I could do anything, literally pay anyone to engineer anything, I think that would be it. I guess my responsible answer would probably be I'd put away some investments, I'd pay off some debts, I'd want to be able to, you know, kind of live off of what I got, you know, without needing to work, but still wanting to work. I like my job, I like what I do, and, you know, and then I'd invest not just in stuff that'll give me returns, but things like Al's business, non-pro. I'd buy myself a nice house, probably around where I grew up in Cranford. I would buy, maybe I'd buy my parents' house off of them, like Al, and I would send them to a one-floor home where they would be, you know, it'd be much easier for them to work and go around. And then once that was all kind of sorted out, the leftover money, I think I donated to charity. I don't want it, you know, like I think that's the problem. If it's there all the time, like you're always going to want to use it, you know, like it's just going to be something else you want, something else you need. So if I don't have it, then that won't happen, you know, as long as I know that I have enough away in investments that, you know, those investments will continue to grow and I'll never need anything, but I can continue to, you know, live an upper middle class lifestyle without ever, you know, having to worry.
See that, like the investment thing always scares me because it's like I always worry, like I'm going to put all that money I won somewhere where I'm not going to get anything back on it.
Well, so you'd have a lot of money.
I mean, I guess you could just go, oh, I'll just put it all on Disney.
A lot of people like that get a dedicated person for that. Like, just have a financial advisor. Yeah.
You would get, the first thing you'd do if you won the lottery is you would hire two people.
And this would be
before you even go to pick up your money. You hire a lawyer and you hire an accountant. Maybe you don't even tell them you won the lottery because you got like 6 months to pick it up.
Yep.
Right? So you don't even tell them you won the lottery. You make sure you watch them. You make sure you know you can trust them because the guy who's going to pick up your lottery ticket sure as heck ain't going to be you because that's what the press wants. Everybody wants to know who you are. They want to see you. They want to get that. Your lawyer's got to be the guy that goes to pick up the ticket. And that money's got to go right from your lawyer straight to the accountant where it starts to get divvied up. Mm. You know, it can never really, you know, fall into your hands. You know what I mean? It's just, it's got to be fluid. It's got to be moving. You know what I mean? You know, with that type of money, you definitely don't have to worry. You know, as you said, I'll just buy into Disney or something. With that type of money, you can buy into a really successful public stock.
Yeah.
Because
like those stocks, digit percentages. Yeah,
those stocks might cost you a lot of money, but you have a lot of money. So if you know that they're guaranteed to return on investment, you'll get it. Yeah, which is not quite as easy to do when you're small investing because you're investing in smaller things that maybe have a little less guaranteed equity. So yeah. I think that's what I would do. That's the responsible answer. But I really would much rather build
the house,
my evil lair.
So here's,
in the side of a
here's
cliff.
My big question: like, you guys are in a pool. I'm not.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to, so the pool means this gets split up amongst you and either coworkers or I'm guessing more coworkers,
yeah,
right?
Just, like not like group family of friends, members. Really.
Yeah. All right. So you're in this. Like, do you guys ever worry that like the person who's kind of in charge of it, who has like the tickets, is like all of a sudden going to be like, oh yeah, we didn't win.
Well,
I'm going to go to like Mexico and I'll see you guys in like
there's forever. There's written documentation, you know, which could exist as a contract saying, I gave you this money, to buy these tickets, and you know, messages, emails, things of that nature to show that we are supposed to split the money.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I know I have a copy. They like send me a copy.
Yeah.
All of us so we can watch tonight and whatever and look over the tickets. So I would know if we won. I mean, I guess if he went missing the next day, you know, like I'd obviously know why.
Yeah.
Also, the guy who's running the pool in my office is kind of like the nicest guy that I know in the office. So like I like completely trust him. I'll be honest, if there were some people around the office who might be running the pool, I'd be like, why don't you let me hold on to those tickets?
Yep.
It also means that I get a little less money too, which isn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like
it's split up amongst the pool. Yeah.
So much money. I wouldn't honestly, other than my evil lair, know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So having a little less come my way, actually, I think is beneficial. Not that we're ever going to win, guys. This is not going
to
happen.
No, I know. But
it's fun to have some fantasies. Yeah.
The truth of it is, though, someone has to, though. That's the weird thing.
Not really, because they said only 85%
of the
numbers.
Sure, yeah.
So there's
technically
a sizable chance that it could not.
Yeah.
There's I mean, it's more probable somebody will win.
So but
there's a 50% chance someone won't win. But even then, that's going to go on to another thing where there's going to be more money in it. And it's this weird, interesting thing where it's like, you know.
Well, if it keeps going, people will keep spending more money on it, and they'll continue to make more money.
Yeah.
And they'll continue to get filthy. The people who run the lottery will continue to get filthy, stinking rich.
Yeah. they're the real winners. But it's interesting. It's like, I mean, like, the thing is, like, people keep saying, like, oh, you have such a low chance. You have a better chance of, like, getting struck by lightning than winning a lottery.
I think you actually have a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice while balancing naked on a cow.
Yeah, actually, 200 and something times before you would win the lottery or something like that.
Yep.
And especially, they worsened the odds recently, which is why we've been getting huger and, you know, much, much grander jackpots lately. Is because they increased the main pool of numbers despite decreasing the Powerball number. But even so, that's, you know, 85 times 84 times 83 times 82 times 81 times however, what is it, 25 Powerball numbers?
Yeah, it's... Yeah. So it doesn't seem like a big difference, but it's noticeable enough to kind of change it up. But
it's interesting to say, like, someone's going to win it. Like, maybe not this time, maybe not the next time, but someone's going to
eventually win
this.
The lottery. It happens.
People win the lottery.
It's documented.
Yeah.
And then... those people are bankrupt within 5 years.
No, not normally.
Usually, like, normally, all but, like, one lottery winner is, like, bankrupt and addicted to drugs, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. It's a lot of different reasons, but...
You get Nicolas Cage syndrome.
It's generally that thing. You just, all of a sudden, having all of this wealth and not, like, planning or thinking about it, it's just, what do I do? And a lot of people... honestly, go on that giant party binge.
on the party boat.
on their jet plane.
It's like, I have all this money, might as well buy all this cocaine. I mean, like, there's no reason I shouldn't have 100 pounds of cocaine.
Well, I've never done cocaine before, but I'm rich now, so
might as well.
I can buy the safest kind of cocaine. I don't know.
The safest cocaine.
Yeah.
Obviously. Well, that's the purest one, right? That's the safe one. I'll take that
5 years
one.
Later, you have no money, half of your family's dead from drugs, and you're addicted to meth. You know, that's... that's... I mean,
is it really only one person that's won the lottery?
Maybe not one, but like...
No, but the numbers tend to be more towards the bankrupt end of the spectrum than the well-invested part of the spectrum.
And, you know, the whole concept of lottery is actually just, like, terrible. Like, I don't want to get into politics, you know, but, like, I mean, they do call it the poor tax for a reason, because, you know, generally speaking, people on the lower end of the income spectrum are more likely to play the lottery.
Yeah, true.
A lot of people will do so out of desperation, you know, and, you know, assume they're going to win the lottery.
They're generally people who aren't already good at budgeting because they generally regularly spend their money on lottery tickets.
Yeah.
So, anyway, on to happier thoughts.
Happy things.
In 2016, yay, one of the three of us at this table will be a millionaire, and there's also a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Isn't that right, Al?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's coming out. Both in film, TV, but we've talked about film, but TV, video games, and collectibles, there's really a lot of stuff that's being hitting the market in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Big things as of right now that I'm excited for is, like, we're going to finally start seeing another season of Agent Carter.
Yay.
Which I'm really happy about, actually, because I was a big fan of last season of Agent Carter. I stuck with that pretty hardcore. I mean, it was a nice break from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was really good last year. But I don't know, Agent Carter had its own charm about it. And something about that story and those characters, I was invested in. I'm so happy we're going back to that.
It's nice, too. I like it when shows are kind of short and self-contained, particularly now in an environment where I'm watching so much television.
Oh my God.
To feel like I have to commit to 8 episodes, it's like, 8 episodes, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention, I mean, like, the character dynamics were just awesome last year. And, you know, it was fun that they were able to bring in people from the movies while simultaneously introducing, you know, 10 or so new characters, that maybe you weren't expecting. And, like, I feel like it was, you know, like, around episode 6, you knew they weren't going to, like, you know, completely bow that up. So, like, you were pretty sure they were probably going to bring it back anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, you know, it's nice to, probably not closure, but, you know, at least get more on whatever, you know, that cliff, not hanger, but, you know, you're like, how is S.H.I.E.L.D. going to start? We have to know. She started it.
Yeah. So it was her and Stark, and it was a lot of things that went into that. So it's, mm-hmm. I like how we're getting the bits and pieces of how that story goes. And we can already kind of see how, when S.H.I.E.L.D. started, I can already see where this story might head towards, where we get where Hydra sort of started with S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, so we'll see what happens with that.
I would also like to see eventually a Nick Fury in there. Because he was, he was
actually,
early on.
I would really like to see a young Nick Fury.
Maybe not.
Before the eye thing.
Well, that, but Nick Fury took, like, an anti-aging thing during World War II, so he's, like...
Well, we don't know.
In the comics,
or something like
that.
In the comics.
Just because,
I mean,
he's probably not 106 in...
Yeah. Because I think we would all like to see, you know, Nick, like, kick some ass. But the problem is that, well, Samuel Jackson's getting on in years. And he does pretty well for himself, but he can't do choreographed fight scenes anymore.
Nope.
And I don't think that that show has the budget to pay him to do choreographed fight scenes, even if he could. So, I mean, I feel like getting a young, you know, Nick Fury in there, I'd like that. I just have him, you know, before the eye thing again. That's mm-hmm. my thing.
I know there's just a whole bunch of stuff that I'm looking forward to. Obviously, we're going to get Mr. Robot Season 2, which is awesome. Right,
it won
after
that everything in the...
Well, it won Best TV Series at the Golden Globes.
Yep.
And Christian Slater won Best Supporting Actor, which was awesome.
Oh, thank God for that.
Unfortunately, Rami Malek did not win Best Actor, but it was John Hamm's last year to win, so we all kind of knew how that was going to go down. But... yeah, so I'm super excited for Mr. Robot Season 2, as you know from me and Matt talking about it.
Yeah.
It's been you know, it's been our favorite show of 2015, so I'm super excited about that. Some of the new shows have already started up. I've just started watching a couple of days ago. Last week it came on MTV, The Sanahara Chronicles, I think it's called.
The Sahara Chronicles. Whatever.
Sahara
yeah.
Chronicles, which is interesting. I'm liking it.
Yeah, John Rhys-Davies is in it.
Yeah, John Rhys-Davies is in it, and it's cool. It feels like... you know, it feels like, particularly right now, like a fun D&D campaign. You know,
yeah.
you got the character, you get the one character that he's like, that guy's clearly played D&D before, you know. The DM let him maybe use a character a couple of levels higher than the other guys just so he'd stop whining, you know. And then you get the two new people that really like, you know, oh, I really want to know how to play, but they spread their characters around too thin. They're rolling a lot of botches. You know, and then you get that one girl who's just really kind of messing and quipping with everybody. You know, she didn't really want to be there, but she's dating that other guy, and you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I like my MTV dramas.
Yeah.
I think they're cool, and they
ever
certainly
since Teen Wolf. Yeah,
and they certainly.
I'm not
I
mocking
love,
you for it, but
I love
been,
Teen Wolf.
Yeah, no, I'm not mocking
not
you for it.
Going, Tyler Posey said that he's got a lot of bro fans, and I'm not alone.
I'm not mocking you.
I don't
I'm
know.
Just
I think you're mocking
started
me.
With, I, this started with Teen Wolf, and I'm just saying it's continuing. Like,
well, yeah.
I watch children's shows. Like, I go and watch Steven Universe, for God's sakes. I got no room to talk. Which is doing great this year, by the way.
But so it's cool. It's clear that they put a lot of money into it. I'm going to say, apart from maybe a couple of CG things that
right.
look a little off. I mean,
which is
the
a problem.
It's TV.
The
it's
main villain,
look a little off.
The main villain's got this amazing practical effects thing going on with his face.
Oh, cool.
And they got, you know, like I said, John Rhys-Davies is in it. So, you know, they didn't skimp on the budget there.
He's an elf king, if I remember correctly, right?
He is. He's the elf king. And we've got Manu Bennett, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, lots of cool people. Trying to think what else is coming back to TV in the near future.
Unfortunately, I think Game of Thrones is coming back not too long.
Game of Thrones comes back in April. This is the last season of Mythbusters this year.
Yeah,
sad to see
wow,
it go.
Sad for that one.
You know, that's been a big constant staple for quite a long time.
God, yeah, ever since I was in college. My gosh, it'd be a shame to see it go. But it had a great run though. Great run.
Especially when they vaporized that truck.
Yep.
I'm excited. In January, USA is going to be premiering another series that's looks really neat. I got to actually see the pilot of it at Comic-Con, and it really kind of dragged
really?
Me in. Was Colony, which is starring the guy who played Sawyer in Lost.
Okay.
And
huh.
it's kind of this cooperators versus kind of rebels sort of like look into... I don't want to say like internment camps, because not quite internment camps, but they're you know they're captured by whatever this force is, and you
okay.
have these group of people who are obviously cooperating, and you have these group of people who are you know they're rebelling. They obviously want to get out and whatever. So it's kind of a neat look in there with a really really great twist at the end of the pilot. That's just I mean sets it up for really a hard to go wrong, hard hitting drama. For the main series, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's well, I think, worth checking out. The pilot looks beautiful, really compelling, neat, great acting, you know, again, it's another one of those only 10 episodes, so it's not like a huge commitment.
Okay. So I like that. I do like that, actually. We're also going to be starting to get the not Black Canary, that's DC.
But Legends of Tomorrow?
We are getting Legends tomorrow, though. I'll go back to this other one. But Legends of Tomorrow we are totally getting in 2016, that I am really looking forward to for a lot of reasons. One, I really, really like the cast because, like, I mean, it's not just going to be Flash and Arrow. Because, like, I mean, not that I don't like Flash and Arrow. It's just I'm glad that we're going to see other people doing stuff.
I can see that.
Thanks, AJ. But anyway. But no, I mean, we're going to finally get the Atom, which is I'm a big fan of that character. I feel like they're Tony Adam, Starking this guy up a
we've
bit.
We've had Atom for a little while on Arrow, which has been fun. But he is definitely morphed a little bit Tony Starkish.
He's a little too Tony Stark for my liking, but I'm okay with it.
He's a really good actor, and he's a lot of fun. So, and we might see him go a little more with his routes in the new series, since he'll have a little bit more freedom with it. It's obviously a little more fantastical, time traveling and all that.
Yeah. Rory's coming back from Doctor Who. He's going to be so that's always good.
Yep, he time travels now without the Doctor. Yeah. So no, he's playing Rip Hunter, right?
Yes.
Arthur Darvill's playing Rip Hunter, which sounds really exciting.
Who is a master of time?
Yeah.
Like, he's a really cool guy, actually. He's not Booster Gold. He's not some idiot who decided time travel would be a good business decision. he actually is a professional time traveler. So.
Hello, guys.
Hi, AJ.
Hi, AJ. When
I'm
did
just
you get
say,
here?
Time travel does sound like a fantastic business decision. I mean, just look at Biff Tannen. I mean,
you're not wrong.
He went from zero to Trump, and he didn't even have full use of time travel. He had
he had the sports almanac.
Half a second of time travel.
He had a sports almanac.
He made that work.
Yeah, but it's true. But beyond that, though, It's not just that. It's like, it's the difference between, like, oh, I'll go back in time and be a superhero. It'd be awesome. I'll market myself. It'd be a good idea. As opposed to, no, I try and travel for a living. This is, like, my job. This is what I do. I take care of time and stuff. This is a thing. And Vandal Savage is going to be the villain, who's one of my favorite DC villains of all time. I love Vandal Savage. He's just the guy who doesn't die. And that's what makes him awesome. It's like, he's not no real big superpower. He's just like, I just don't die, and you're not going to get rid of me. I'm just always going to be here planning and plotting until I rule the world.
Yeah, and so don't they use him as basically the reason why everything bad ever happened in the past?
No.
No?
No.
He doesn't become, like, every evil person?
No, he doesn't become every evil person. Like, he usually will try and, like, find opportunities in when evil stuff happens, but he was never behind Hitler or anything like that.
Okay.
He usually, like, kind of came in after the fact and decided, oh, well, I know how this will vaguely turn out.
Well,
so.
I know Hitler's going to turn out, so I know when to leave.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of... That was more his shtick. It was not the, like, I was behind all of the great evils of the world. I was behind the Crusades and all this other stuff. No, normally he just found bad situations and took advantage of them.
We've got another big fan favorite coming back for a revival series this year, which is the X-Files.
Yeah, wow. Ooh. How about that, guys? X-Files is coming back. Yeah. Who would have guessed that?
I have a confession to make.
You never watched The X-Files?
I've never watched The X-Files.
Well, that's fine. I've only seen like 10 episodes.
When I was a little kid, I was a lot easier to scare. So I didn't watch things that involved like freaky things or supernatural.
Or Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. No, really, no. I didn't watch Are You Afraid of the Dark until I was like 24.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I'm excited. I was a big fan of The X-Files, at least up till season 4. Yeah, I just think it'll be neat to see Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny back in those roles.
Which is so weird they came back and decided, we'll just do it again.
Well, they liked what they were doing.
No, I did.
They've always liked the X-Files.
And they're both kind of, David Duchovny had Californication for a while. But
that was on for like 6 or 7 seasons,
yeah,
so he certainly
I'm
didn't
saying
do
he's
bad
not
there.
Like super David Duchovny he was in the 90s.
No, he's not quite as famous.
And Gillian Anderson isn't exactly like huge super.
Well, Gillian Anderson's been doing solid on TV.
I'm not saying she's like terrible or anything. I'm saying like both of them are equally like not super A-list like they used to be. So I feel like it's much more plausible.
We reached a sweet spot where these people continued to have careers, but they really didn't take off. So we lucked out in that they were willing to come back.
David Duchovny had like a hard spike. And then he disappeared, and then Californication happened, really.
Yeah.
So it really makes it financially feasible for this show to happen again.
Yeah.
David Duchovny had to go to rehab for sex addiction. I love that. Sorry. Just had to mention that fact.
Well, yeah, he got too into character.
Yeah.
We've got a cool new HBO series I'm a little excited about, which is called Vinyl, which is about the music industry. And it's
I've heard about this, yeah.
It's directed by Martin Scorsese. which is going to be awesome. Obviously, a big Scorsese fan. And it's the
he's hit or miss.
Terrence Winter, who's you know, the guy who wrote Boardwalk Empire. So,
oh, I'm interested.
So yeah, I'm interested. I'm curious. It's definitely more of a time. As much as I liked Boardwalk Empire, and I liked the pilot for Boardwalk Empire more than I did most of the series, but you know, the vinyl time period, the music industry, it's a neat area, really ripe with stories. So yeah. I'd be excited to see where they take it.
Yeah, I definitely be interested in it. But we're also going to get the spinoff series from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where we're going to have Bobby and Hunter, Bobby and Hunter show, right?
Yep, we are currently doing a development of, they're currently developing what's called Marvel's Most Wanted, which centers around Bobby and Hunter. And we don't really know much more than that.
Just makes me happy that they can't kill off Hunter, because like, there was a point there where you're like, he might go. I mean, he's on the main cast now, but he might go. I love him. Please don't kill him.
I love Hunter.
I was like last year when I was like, well, they got two black guys on the show now. One of them's going to go.
Oh, no.
I called that from like the third episode of, you know, the first half. And I was just like, and then I saw Trip go in the room and I'm like, I gotta walk away now. I'm done here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a shame, Trip. I like Trip.
Netflix has a couple of shows, obviously big, they're pushing this year. We were getting Fuller House coming out in February.
That is so weird. Full this House is a show. Sequel.
That is weird.
Candace and the Cameron Olsen twins are not really in well. It, apparently.
They are well, not, nope. But a lot of the other cast are.
Yeah.
It makes sense that the twins wouldn't be in it, because there weren't twins.
Yeah, but you'd think that one of them or both of them, like...
They, would they cameo are collectively worth it. Like $1 billion, yeah. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
Also, I know I was reading an interview with them that their biggest worry about coming back to the show is that they're not actors. They haven't acted in over 20 years.
That's true.
You know? Yeah, they do fashion design and stuff like that.
They were child set pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could bring Elizabeth Olsen in because she looks.
Believe it or not, they like actually them. Talked about that, and they called her agent, and her agent was like, ha ha ha, Elizabeth Olsen is a actual movie star, guys. You can't afford her.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about womp, it, because she's in Avengers, Godzilla. Like, I'm just thinking about, like, she was in, like, 4 consecutive movies that were, like, some of the biggest movies of that year.
Yeah, the production team at Fuller House certainly thought about it, but... They were right. They can't afford.
Are you like? Are you joking?
They should have got. They should have gotten their brother, and you know, just said Michelle went through some changes.
Oh well, I mean, would be topical.
No, like all 4 of them actually look a lot alike.
Netflix will also be giving us a second season of Daredevil.
Yay!
Which will apparently be featuring a lot of the Punisher.
Yep, yeah. We're gonna have the Punisher.
Interesting. I'd played, like to see Punisher
played by the guy who played Shane on The Walking Dead. Who, I mean, as far as casting goes, I'm gonna say spot on, man.
Yeah,
really Shane? Great Punisher.
Someone you love to hate, which is really what you'd kind of want.
Yeah,
he's
Rick's.
He's
Rick's best friend in The Walking Dead. I'm trying to think of the actor's name.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now. Yeah. I never watched the show, but I remember.
He's one of those characters, and he plays it so well where you're like, man, I hate you, but you might totally be right, which is exactly kind of where you want to be for the Punisher. Like, you hate what he's doing, and you don't like the way he does it, but you're thinking to yourself,
but he's
kind of
got the moral high ground.
No, he doesn't.
You might be right.
I mean,
no, that's the exact opposite of what he has. He has the logical high ground.
Oh, no, wait.
Yeah,
wait.
That was Shane.
He has the moral, but not the ethical high ground.
He has the physical high ground.
I'm only killing you. Because
he killed Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah. So, yeah,
again,
exactly.
I'm okay with that.
I'll say he has the logical high ground, maybe not the moral high ground.
And that Shane, he's like, what Shane was saying was right, I just don't know if I could like go along with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he'll bring to the Punisher.
Yeah, there's a lot
which
of
is
things
nice.
You could negotiate as being technically right, but you can't really believe them as being right because you know they're not.
Nope.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, hence why I mean, the first season was so good because, like, it wasn't really like a good versus evil battle. It was more like a big versus small. Do the means justify the end? Which is probably going to be revisited.
And
his character
you were dead
the
at the time.
Season.
It's okay.
Yeah,
you were dead at the time, man. So it's okay that we did this.
I was more thinking about Daredevil actually, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Well,
you were blind at the time, so no.
Womp womp.
So yeah, and that takes us. That takes us through April as far as.
Is
as far as shows
out
coming out, It is, but in the later half of the year.
We're pumped about that for this year, but you know it's going to be like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm so pumped for Heroes for Hire. That'd be something I'm so looking forward
to. I feel
to.
Like we're going to get there fast. I mean, they're going to do they're going to Netflix has quadrupled their programming from when they started. Luke Cage is already almost done filming, so that means we're getting Daredevil season 2 this year. We're getting Luke Cage. We're possibly they're casting for Iron Fist right now, so it's likely we get Iron Fist before the end of the year.
Yep.
I mean,
not early next year.
Jessica Jones went over really well, so I'm assuming we'll get, if not this year, next year, a sequel to that.
And I imagine there's 100 other properties that they're probably exploring right now.
Oh, I'm sure. Or at least characters that they can put into these other existing properties.
I mean, if you have the... Because, you know, they're going with the localized hero right now. Because, you know, think about Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And, you know... None of these other characters really... Actually, I'm not quite sure on Iron Fist, but like the rest of them are kind of...
No, he's a New York guy, too.
Yeah, I know he's a New York guy. I just like don't know about his mobility. But like the rest of them are kind of localized and stay very close, whereas, you know, they're not like an Iron Man who has a jet and a jet suit.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, we've talked a lot about movies that are coming out in 2016, but what about games?
Well, I think the big one... but open with right now is like the big one's going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Part one.
Yeah. Part one, technically. Yeah. Which I'm not upset about the fact that we're going to get episodes of it because it seems like I'm not against this because like it's all right for it to be in sections. And again, if it's not all charged, you know, through the nose on it.
And, you know, they've been going, you know, gung ho with it. They're going to use like the Unreal 4 engine. They're exploring like new battle systems and multiple kinds of battle systems in the game.
We're supposed to get, yeah. I think supposedly this year is going to be Kingdom Hearts 3.
And
2.8. I don't believe it. I'm sure they've announced it, but I
think 2.8 could make it out this year though, which I'm pretty excited. Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind another Aqua based game. Aqua the character, not like a water game.
Yeah. So
not that I didn't like the Little Mermaid.
Here's my thing with all
dance,
the Square
water, dance. Yeah.
Here's my thing with all the Square projects. Are you guys holding your breath that they're going to come out this year? Or do you think that?
No, I think 7's going to come out this year. I think that's something they're banking on that they're going to like. It's the stuff like Kingdom Hearts 3 that I'm a little on
because they've been pushing that for a while.
Yeah, and that's the one I'm a little bit on the like. I've seen nothing from this, man. So, like, well, we keep seeing... Well, since the announcement, we've been getting more and more information and more stuff involving the Final Fantasy... The Final Fantasy VII Remake. But with KH3, it's like...
Well, they said they weren't going to announce anything else about Final Fantasy VII until at least two other games came out.
Yeah.
It was, like, the kiddie Final Fantasy game. Was it, like, Explorers or something like that?
Oh, shoot. Is it, like, the dungeon one?
The one where, like, they have, like, the chibi characters where, like, you can go back and forth between being, you know, normal-sized and tiny.
Yeah, I got it.
And then there was another game they said that was going to come out that they didn't want, like, they were like, we are not going to talk about any games that are deep in development right now until we have the ones that we're about to put out.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's, because we keep getting hyped about things and we don't pay attention to what they
are. I'm at least excited I pulled the trigger on a PS4 finally, though.
I don't know about that. I think I wouldn't pull. I think I'd wait. I think I definitely would be like, I'll get the PS4 when this.
I got
and
it for $300 though. It wasn't bad.
That's true. I mean, maybe I'll wait for next Christmas or something like that, and I'll think about it.
I mean, they've been like kind of fluctuating wildly. So like, if you're looking in that price range, you know, I would say it wouldn't be hard.
I'm gonna buy a Wii U before I buy a PS4.
Yeah, but like, it wouldn't be hard to get something for $300. Might be hard under $300.
Yeah, that's true.
AG?
Huh? Aren't they coming out with another Nintendo console soon?
No.
Nintendo is working on development of a project they call NX. We don't know what it is.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be a replacement for the Wii U or for the 3DS.
But it's supposed to be more powered.
But it will be... They said we will see an announcement, an official announcement of the project development this year, meaning we'll get enough of a tease that we'll know it's a thing. We'll know kind of what the thing might be.
It could theoretically be a competitor like the Oculus Rift type stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nintendo, it could be a VR sort of thing.
Which
they tried that, though.
but you know what? I've had more faith in them recently than I've had in past years. So I would feel like they'd know better what to do than...
And not make a second Virtual Boy?
Yeah.
But I mean, we've come so far technologically since then.
Yes.
Also,
and the Virtual Boy wasn't Virtual Out, it was just 3D.
I also
which
feel
which technically
yeah,
worked.
But you had to like crane your neck to actually use the Virtual Boy because you're like,
yeah.
And we have real 3D now.
Yeah.
And I think one of the nice things about Nintendo is that they think they're trying to think out of the box, which I think is something that
that's
really
help. That's
the only way
they can keep up anymore.
Well, not just that, but it would help the virtual reality kind of playing field. I feel like we've got 5 different versions of the Oculus Rift or the VR or the Gear or the, you know, whatever, you know. So I think Nintendo would put its own spin on it in a way that would be exciting and fresh.
It wouldn't just be like, hey, put on this thing that looks like a Virtual Boy and walk on a treadmill. I think they probably have something that's like, no, we're going to try and make this an experience. And we're going to use what we've learned thus far and we're going to build on it. And if this is what they're doing. For all we know, they could be working on, like, Nintendo, the theme park, and like, yes, you didn't know we were doing this in secret.
I don't think that's anywhere you want to go right now, considering how much money Disney is putting into Star
well,
Wars
but
theme
but Nintendo
right
is,
now.
Yeah. Didn't they sign a deal with Universal to work on their theme park? That was a thing. That's happening.
Hollywood or...
No, Universal,
or
like...
Orlando?
Studios. Yeah.
That's
well, there's two of them.
Oh, that's right. I thought I heard
Hollywood
the one in Florida.
In Orlando.
I didn't hear about
yeah.
I think it's the one in Florida.
That's what
okay,
I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'm saying it's like it could be anything. For all I know, it's like we're like, hey, we're making a TV.
Or they could be making an immersive thing that could be used for a ride in Universal.
That'd
like
be cool. I'd buy a Nintendo TV.
It could be like a VR thing, you know, kind of like they have the immersive rides that you get to like launch stuff at.
Wait, you know what I just thought of? Since we're like the immersive rides and everything like that, and what if they are making like a TV kind of thing where we just put it in our homes and all of a sudden whatever we watch on that television is in 3D.
Yeah,
like any TV show, like all of a sudden we're watching like just.
I don't know if they'll probably be focused on TV. I think they'd be focused on gaming.
Oh yeah, on gaming. But I'm just saying it'd be really interesting if they just came out with this hardware that just turned it on like you did with the 3DS, and it's just now in 3D. Like whatever you're watching, whatever you're playing, it's now in 3D. Because we can do that. I'm not saying that they could. I'm just saying that'd be an interesting idea if they did do that. But gaming, there's a lot of other random stuff coming out. Like Far Cry is getting another game, which is interesting. Which has gone the Fallout 4 and the Fable route of, well, we get a dog. Because, you know, it worked well for Call of Duty.
And Metal Gear Solid.
Huh? And Metal Gear Solid, yeah. This is a trend now. And I'm not understanding why. It's like, our dog, like, I mean, I like dogs. I had a dog. I loved that dog. But I don't necessarily want to have pet ownership tied to everything that I do.
I mean, the whole pet ownership thing in Metal Gear Solid 4 is make sure nobody shoots it.
DDR, pet ownership, but, have your dog dance
I
with
mean,
you.
It's like, at least in Metal Gear Solid 4, it works like an enhanced radar, because before you even notice a person, he smells it from like 100 meters away, and you're like, oh, okay, there's the guy.
Yeah. And he doesn't use your batteries.
A prisoner. Yeah, exactly.
So you have to feed him occasionally.
Yeah, no.
I mean, in real life, I don't know how it works in a video game.
No. He just follows you, and then you go back to the base, so somebody else feeds him or whatever. I don't know.
No, good.
Yep.
He's there for morale sake.
So you've outsourced your feeding responsibilities.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Quiet will take care of
it. With him and the horse and your naked sniper, but...
I still understand that. Anyway.
Photosynthesis.
If that were really true, why does she have hair? I mean, whatever. There's a
because
lot of...
Because pretty?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the same reason she has boobs. Because people want to look at her.
I guess.
Feed her offspring?
I just feel like this is such... Like, couldn't you just say that she likes to dress that way? Why was there the I eat or drink through my skin thing? It was like, she just likes to dress that way. It's fine. Whatever.
I mean, we've always had...
I mean,
they
visited that in the game, though.
But. We've always had a little bit of the freak show in Metal Gear.
That's true.
With the...
psychics.
Yeah.
All of the psychics.
Yeah.
Because there's one
of them.
In every game.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no. In 3, it was a spirit medium. But
spirit.
Yeah, but Far Cry is going the way of getting the animal companion, which is interesting because I like Far Cry. At least I like the way Far Cry has gone thus far, and it does need a shake up because 3 was very similar to the second one.
Apparently, though, that was like
I'm sorry, 4 was way too similar to 3. Excuse me.
Thing a lot of people have stolen that was like originally an idea in Half-Life 2, where you had like this mutant guy who followed you around who like fixed everything and. You know, for the sake of the game's engine, it would, like, eat all of the dead guys. You know, things of that nature. So, like, you wouldn't walk back and be like, hey, why isn't that guy still there? It'd be like, oh, yeah, he's hungry. Okay.
Yeah. But again, it's, like, it's interesting that this is becoming a trend. Like, the dogs are going to be, like, our big thing now. Like, I don't know. I guess there's a point behind it. I guess there's a reason for it. But it's just so weird to me. Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't want it in the way.
No.
Okay, cool. There's a bunch of guys. I threw the grenade. No, don't run that way.
Jesus. But yeah, besides that, like, oddly enough, aren't we getting that Assassin's Creed movie, too? Like, pretty soon. I mean, it's weird to bring up, like, but it's technically gaming, I guess. Like,
you know, what I'd much, much prefer to talk about, though, which is coming up in just about a month now, is Deadpool. Is nobody else looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Look,
I'm just the marketing team is like really doing their job properly.
They're killing it.
Yeah.
You know, I think Deadpool's going to be
really fun to watch.
I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
I think it's going to be like the Deadpool game.
I'm not 100% sure it's going to be an amazing movie, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really watch movies. Like, I can separate watching a movie for like cinematic, you know, expertise and just sheer evocative value. Where I walk in for the reason on the right. Like, I always just want to, like, go in and have fun. If I notice things, if I start picking it apart, then no movie's going to be fun anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like Deadpool. He's cool. He's neat. But I don't look for him. I see him occasionally, and I laugh. Ha, 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 that Deadpool. He's at it again.
Yeah.
But I'm not picking up Deadpool comics because I'm really engrossed in the story. I'm not going to the movie because I really want to see what they do with his character.
I don't know. I feel like to some degree you can't, even going in for what Pope is saying for that value, you have to actually to some degree care what they do with the character, because if they do the character wrong, none of that's going to be there.
I mean, he's Deadpool. Hence I'm not X-Men really Origins. Sure. They closed his mouth.
Yeah.
That, they ruined the reason why you see Deadpool.
They did it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're just saying, like, to some degree, they have to have some care for who the character is in order to make it viable and make it entertaining for us to go see it for that reason. I would not saying that a Deadpool that has a really engrossing story would be a bad movie. Because I feel like Deadpool's had stories in the comic books that are engrossing, not just for, you know, like, exploitation value.
Mm-hmm.
They're decent stories, and I feel like you could do that with this film, where it's funny, it's pushing the envelope, it's gratuitous in both its violence and its gore. But at the same time, like, no, I care about what's going on. I care about Wade Wilson and what's going on with him. Yeah, I give a crap.
The thing about him, though, is, like, they've touched upon this so many times where it's like, he's actually probably one of the deepest characters that Marvel has ever put out, because, you know, he knows he's a comic book character, and he's miserable about the fact, but, you know, he has to find a way to live with that. Because he must.
You might say he has more dimensions than all the other characters.
But umptis.
Gonna stab you when we're done.
Yeah.
But anyway. No, like, and most of his stuff is just about, you know, family and friends, and like that those are the things he most cherish. He doesn't really want to save the world, he just cares about things that are close to him.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just delighted to see Ryan Reynolds be able to run his
mouth. Yeah,
this was
such a passion project for Ryan Reynolds, actually, is from like every single aspect of this. Like, he wanted this movie made, and like, I really feel like, you know, this is good on him, man. Like, I like seeing like real, honest.
Apparently,
to God.
James Cameron lobbied really hard for this movie, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, again, like, it's, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping it's going to be a good film. I hope a lot of the movies come out, but I think this is definitely one of them that's really going to be. The top films for 2016.
Yay.
No.
So,
along with all the other Marvel films that, you know, like Doctor Strange and so on and so forth. Like, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of those films. There's going to be a lot of other films that will be coming out that year. Yeah, but again, I'm interested in Assassin's Creed. I'm going to see where they go with that. They have one of my favorite actors in that movie. Obviously, we've mentioned X-Men Apocalypse. We mentioned Star Trek. We went to that whole trailer dump a few episodes ago.
I think
again,
this year, the big question is, and we're going to leave it on this, is will the curse of the terrible video game movie be broken?
That's an interesting thing, because the Assassin's Creed is going to have a good actor, who's, what's his name? The Magneto in freaking First Class.
Michael Fassbender.
I love Michael Fassbender. I am actual romantic love with this man.
And I love John Leguizamo, but Super Mario movie wasn't all that great.
Yeah, but John Leguizamo is not like a Shakespearean level actor.
To me, he is.
Actually, the guy who played Mario was.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in Roger Rabbit,
But go on.
Anyway, that's really all the time we have for today. I'm going to sign off for the Line Cutters, but we are very excited for 2016, obviously, in all forms of media. Leave us a comment, find us on Facebook, let us know what you're excited for in 2016. I'm James.
I'm Al.
Cappy.
Pope.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.